Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Let's cross now to our next guest, Mary Kluk, Vice President of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies and Director of the Durban Holocaust Center. Good morning, Mary. Thank you for joining us.
Morning. Great to be here. Thank you.
A completely off the subject question, but I have to know, is the French toast at Circle Cafe at the Holocaust Center the best reason to visit Durban?
One of them. Cheesecake's pretty up there as well.
Yeah, this is true. And the crunchies. Oh, my word. Okay. Yeah. Fortunately, I'm down there in June. So we're chatting about...
Look forward to that.
Absolutely. 100%, likewise. Thank you. We're chatting about Dr. Edith Egger and her contribution to the world. Please tell us a little bit about the doctor and what she brought to us.
She was such an extraordinary woman. I didn't have the privilege of meeting her in person, but I did have the privilege as part of the board leadership in 2020. She was our guest of honor and keynote speaker at the Gauteng conference in 2020. And just to cast your mind back, 2020 was COVID.
Yes.
I don't say more than that. And none of us, we were all at home, nowhere near the Circle Cafe or anywhere like that. And really going through a difficult time as a global people, but as South Africans navigating this locked up at home. And yet the work of the board continued. And we obviously had to go through, for constitutional purposes, have a conference. We wanted to gather our community. And we had this idea that Edith, Dr. Edith Egger, who passed away this past week, would be the ideal person to be our guest speaker, to help and inspire our community to dig deep, find the resilience that we all needed in those dark, dark days. When COVID was rampant, we were losing people in our community. Mm. We were frightened. It was, and she was just an extraordinary guest. We got to know her through Zoom, of course, in those days. Her grandson, Jordan, her daughter, Marion, her firstborn son, Jordan, who had just had his first baby with twin boys. Literally, they were squeaking in the background while we were on call. And Jordan had made a decision to take on the role of her manager, I guess, in inverted commas, but almost to build the legacy and build the brand of Edith Egger, because she is such an extraordinary contribution to the world. And we had these Zoom calls, many Zoom calls with Edith and Jordan, talking about the importance of her speaking to our community at that time. And it was such a privilege. You felt the inspiration through Zoom, if that makes, it sounds corny, but honestly, it was an experience that I'll never forget. Just having been accessible to her, even through the airwaves, so to speak.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you a little bit about her,
please.
Obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just to touch on that, were you feeling physically almost that inspiration, that level of connection? It speaks to the power and the strength of the individual.
Absolutely. She's spot on. She just had that extraordinary power. So she was a woman. She was born in Czechoslovakia, the youngest of three daughters. And the town, I don't know the pronunciation too well, so it was annexed during the war by Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
And so they found themselves in Hungary. And in 1944, Hungarian Jews were very much the target. It was a last scramble by the Nazis. And in fact, almost a million Jews were murdered by the Nazis in a period of less than a year.
Sure.
In a matter of just in a scramble to target this huge community, Hungarian Jewish community, who had been thus far untouched by the Nazis. So it was in the last year of the war, they were the target. And her parents, her middle sister, Magda, and Edith were deported. The older sister, the reason I'm making the distinction, mm-hmm. her older sister, Clara, wasn't at home at the time, and she managed to survive in hiding. She was never deported. But her parents and her middle sister, Magda, were deported to Auschwitz, and her parents were murdered, both of them. But their parents, Magda and Edith, survived. They were liberated from a sub-camp of Mauthausen, I think I remember, in Austria. And she became this extraordinary force in the world, but not immediately. And that's mm-hmm. what's so inspiring to me. She survived the war, met her husband when she was discovered as in a pile of supposedly dead bodies. Wow. They saw her move, supposedly. She recounts this, and I just want to preface all my comments
mm-hmm.
with, apart from the extraordinary meetings we had with her and the inspiration she was to us at the board, she's written beautiful books. And the first one, called The Choice, that was published in 2017, I would urge every one of your listeners, if they haven't read it.
I think she wrote that at the age of 90.
Yep. It was honestly, it is the most unbelievable book. It, like no other survivor testimony that I've read, certainly. So she survived the war, met her husband in 1946 in hospital as she recovered from a broken back and typhus and all sorts of awful and life-threatening situations that was remarkable she survived at all. They married when she was young, and she had her family. They moved to avoid and to escape communism. They moved via Israel briefly to the United States, to El Paso. Mm-hmm. And that's where she spent most of her life, but struggled for years, 25 years. She talks, and that's where she makes this extraordinary testimony in The Choice about living as a tormented survivor, the survivor guilt, how she just felt she was failing at life, had mental health challenges, severe mental health challenges, and how she became aware of Viktor Frankl's logotherapy. I'm not sure if you've read, or I'm sure many of your listeners may have read Viktor Frankl's book, small, unbelievable book.
A Man's Search for Meaning.
And that's what inspired her. She contacted Viktor Frankl, and he became her mentor. They had an incredible relationship, and he encouraged her to go back to school, so to speak. So at 43, she went back to university. She went to university. Not back to university. She went to university. And ultimately became a doctor of psychology and had a private practice practicing this logotherapy that if you have a why, you can survive anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about why. She found the why in her life through this extraordinary process of studying and embracing logotherapy, and became a source of healing for, I don't know the number, but certainly tens of thousands of people personally, but also through her writing, she's made such an impact on all of us.
Sure.
In finding the way to survive in the most extraordinary circumstances. She quotes in her book, I won't be able to quote it properly, mm-hmm. but I remember she said, Viktor Frankl said to her that she would be such a extraordinary therapist because she understood suffering, firstly.
Wow.
And also, and that she would be able to help people because she had found a purpose in her life. That she, that the essence of behind what she taught and inspired us with was, she can't change what happened. She can't change who you are today, but she can help you to figure out how to confront it,
mm-hmm.
firstly in her life, and then how to make sense of it and find peace with it. It's not going to change what happened. It's just going to help you through this logotherapy and her clinical practice.
Absolutely, absolutely unbelievable. You know, it's about understanding that it's not what happened to us, so but how we react to it, and using that, how we feel about it, to choose what we want to do with that effect it has in our life. Mary, look, thank you so much for joining us, Vice President of the South African Jewish Board of Deputies and Director of the Durban Holocaust Center.